big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And the reality is, in order to do ministry long term, in order to get into this digital world, we have to stay healthy. We have to stay fit. And that's why I'm excited to have Greg Orham with me today. He is actually known otherwise as Pastor Fit, Mr. Pastor Fit. He runs PastorFit.com and has a great program for pastors and ministers to how to stay healthy and how to stay in ministry long term by being healthy. And he has a great experience of his own of why he chose to get healthy and why he chose to get fit. And he directly applies it into the ministry context. So he really encourages ministers and pastors to stay healthy. And he's got a great plan. And we have a great conversation. So it's fantastic. I'm really excited to have Greg on the podcast with me today. So without any further ado, let's get in the conversation now with Greg Orham, talking about how to stay healthy and the value of staying healthy in ministry. All right, well, with me right now is Greg Orham. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about having you on the podcast today because you are the guy behind the scenes of Pastor Fit. So I'd love to get to know you a little bit more before we dive into just the, you know, Pastor Fit and what that does and what you do. So give us a little bit of background about who you are and how you got started in ministry.
Okay. I am a pastor. I pastor a church called Foothills Church in Seneca, South Carolina. My wife and I planted this church 20 years ago. We just celebrated 20th anniversary. And we have three kids, six grandkids.
Oh, wow.
So we're pretty busy. And, you know, the Pastor Fit training that I do is kind of a labor of love on us as a sideline kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Now, what got you started in ministry?
Well, actually, I didn't grow up in church. I had never opened a Bible in my life till I was 23. And so I actually came out of the business world. And when we moved to South Carolina, I'm from South Florida. When we moved to South Carolina, I had backing up into the time I was in Florida. We had actually been involved in a church plant. I wasn't on staff, but I didn't think I'd ever use that again. And when we got to South Carolina, God kind of laid it on my heart to sell that business and then enrolled in seminary. And one thing led to another, and then we planted this church here.
Wow!
Shortly thereafter.
That's awesome. What is the one thing you love about being a pastor or someone in ministry?
Well, I think by nature, I like to help people. I love seeing people, you know, my background being very unchurched. So there's something, I kind of have that evangelistic zeal to me still, even though I've been saved now for 34 years. But I want to see others experience the freedom that I've experienced. So I really like helping people. In fact, our mission statement, our church, is helping people find and follow Jesus. Part of the training part that I do is also on the physical realm. I get to do the same thing. So I get a real joy out of seeing life change in people.
Well, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, well, let's dive in now into Pastor Fit. How long have you been doing Pastor Fit, and what got you going into starting something called Pastor Fit?
Okay, I need to back up a little bit. I've always been a guy who's fairly health conscious. I always tried to exercise. I've never been overweight. I've just always tried to take care of myself. But once you hit middle age, you start having kids and all that kind of stuff, you know, things get busy and you don't really spend as much time taking care of yourself as you should. But I was still in pretty good shape. But anyways, when I was 50, which was, I'm 58 now, so 50 years old, I went and had a physical, just a routine physical, and everything was great. I mean, it was the doctor. I was literally walking out of the door, and my doctor said, "This is phenomenal. Everything is excellent. I'll see you later kind of thing. And then he said, oh, you know what? Now that you turned 50, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I have no reason to really, I don't see anything that necessitates this, but we have this thing called a cardiac score. And now you're 50, wouldn't hurt to have that. And I said, what is that? He said, well, it measures the calcium deposits or the plaque buildups in your arteries around your heart. He said, your insurance company won't cover it, but it's about $100. It'd be worthwhile. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I had the test. And the goal of the test is to score zero or as near to zero as you can, because that means you have no plaque buildup. The scale goes to like 300 or something like that. And so they called me back kind of frantically and said, we need to get you in here right away. I was like, what's up? They said, your score was 1100.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, what does that mean? You know, and my initial response was, let me come back in and take the test again. Something's wrong with your machine. Because I had no symptoms whatsoever. I was playing basketball 3 days a week. So I went in and they said, well, we need to do a heart cath and we'll be prepared to do whatever we need to do to fix it while we're in there. So they scheduled surgery. That was a wake up call, of course. I never had anything, you know, like I said, didn't have any symptoms, didn't feel bad. So it was a shock. And I went in and they took me in for heart cath and they found 5 blockages.
Oh, wow.
And I guess what they do is two of them were significant enough, which means more than 60% blocked. One of them was 95%, was like 90. And then 3 were under 60%. So I don't know how much they were. But the two that were extremely blocked were the ones in the way they call the widowmaker, which is the one that will kill you.
Oh, wow.
And so they put stents in my heart. And I woke up after surgery and they told me what was going on. And then stents is not open heart. They do it, angioplasty kind of thing. So they do it arthroscopic or however they call that. But anyways, so they don't keep you long. They want to get you out of there. And, as my wife was driving me home, there was a lot of emotions that I had. I was afraid. Not to die, but I just thought, man, this, and that was mad. I was like, I've been taking care of myself. Why is this happening? And, you know, you go through the gamut of emotions, but then I came out, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to just sit there and roll over. I'm gonna do something about it. So I made a determination. They found out it was hereditary. There's nothing I can do with my genetics, but, that's what the problem was. It was genetic, but I knew I couldn't change genetics, but I made a commitment to myself that, you know, I would do everything I could do on my end to prevent this from killing me. Mm-hmm. So I just started following my doctor's advice. My first cardiologist, I felt like gave me some bad advice, but anyways, I followed his advice. And then, his goal was to get me real lean, which was fine. Okay, that part was okay, but how he did it was really the problem. But I leaned out and really started lifting again and working out and doing all kind of thing. And that was by then it was 2011. And I was still 50. I hadn't turned 51 yet, but I was almost. And so about a year, 9 months later, something like that, I had pretty drastic transformation physically because I was working hard. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I were down in Florida and she took a picture. I was on the beach, took a picture anyways, and it was on Twitter and some of my pastor friends saw it. And then they were, what do you do? How did you transform your body like that? I said, well, I've just been working real hard. And then I started getting a lot of calls and answering questions best I could. And then eventually, because my passion for what I was doing became such a big part of my life, that I decided to get certified as a personal trainer, not to do Pastor Fit or even to work with anybody else. It was totally selfish motivations. I just loved it and wanted to do the best I can to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And so I got certified as a personal trainer. And then one thing led to another. I kept getting inquiries about this. And I said, you know what? There are a lot of guys that are interested in getting healthy. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it began a little over 4 years ago officially.
That's awesome. Well, again, I know you do a variety of different things. So what do you do to encourage pastors? Like, I mean, you have Pastor Fit. So what kind of stuff do you do to encourage them today?
Okay. So there's a few things I do. On the website, I have some free resources, YouTube things, and, you know, just some basic stuff. And then I do a lot of online personal training, coaching. I do it usually in one of two formats, either a group coaching situations where we do a group of people, 6 to 10 pastors who come together and we meet for an hour a week using Zoom, teleconferencing, video conferencing. And so that's one way we do it. And then I do one-on-one online training as well. And that's a little more personalized, obviously, where we write up a full, we do a full assessment. We write up a full program, which include all fitness and some nutritional things that they can get started on making the transformation and based on the goals that they set. And philosophically, what I do is a little different maybe because we don't do any kind of starvation or anything like that. I just teach guys how to work out and how to train themselves. My goal, because I don't do this this is not my vocation. My goal is to get guys self-sufficient and teach them how to do so. Not that they need my services for a long time. I want them to move on without me. And we have an ongoing Pastor Fit Facebook page that they can stay motivated one with each other and accountable to one another. Those kind of things. But my goal has always been, hey, let me just teach guys. Again, this goes back to that first question you asked, what I like about ministry. I like helping people. So yeah. It gives me an opportunity to help as many guys as possible. And we're seeing unbelievable things. I tell you, Tom, it's blown my mind to see what God is doing. The doors he's opened up between some of the people I've met. Men's Health magazine heard about what I was doing somehow. I don't even know.
Oh, wow.
And they contacted me. I thought somebody was, you know, scamming me. They contacted me and said, we want to do a write-up about what you're doing.
Wow.
I'm like, really? Okay. And then it turned out to be real. So it was a May 2017 edition came out with that little thing about, it was a special they were doing on people that had overcome obstacles and use them for positive things. And so that opened up more opportunities. And, it's just been really interesting to see how God is opening doors and how many guys are jumping on board and doing this. And it's a lot of fun, and it's probably taking up a way more time than it should in my life, but I love doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very important, again, because I've been in ministry for, you know, over 20 years now. And, you know, I have a student ministry background and I do some online ministry as well. But, you know, the thing with student ministers is that we are terrible people we eat terrible stuff. We eat lots of pizza, lots of fast food, because that's where we're hanging out with kids. We are completely unhealthy on so many levels. And so I feel like what you are doing is so important because it can help us get healthy. And I started getting healthy my own self because I had a situation, a really tough time in my life about 5-6 years ago that I just started incorporating running. I hate running, but running helped me process my life and helped me stay fit. And again, because I started seeing that I had a really good metabolism when I was younger, and you know, after all the pizza and after all the other stuff going on in my life, I had put on like 20, 30 pounds. And I was not in a healthy state. And if I wanted to be around long-term for my family, I knew I had to do something different. And so that's why I chose to start getting fit. But I see that too many pastors are running into the things of run, 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 and we're not taking time to get healthy ourselves.
Well, you know, that's a great point, because statistically, this is hard to believe, because now there's like 70% of the general population of America now is overweight or obese, but they've done studies that and clergy is actually higher than that. So we have some of the most unfit people on the planet. And here's what I think is the reason is not only are they, you know, just the youth pastors are eating pizza every night, but most guys are in ministry because they do like to help people. And it's almost a sense of guilt if they take care of themselves. It's like they're martyrs. They want to give to everybody and everything except themselves. And they're not doing themselves any favor by doing that, because their longevity in the ministry is going to be cut short. Mm-hmm. They're going to miss a lot of opportunities to be able to run around with their kids and do things that they really want to do. And so they have noble reasons for why saying we find time to do the things we want to do. Mm-hmm. So putting themselves on a schedule and saying, hey, I'm important. God created me and I'm a steward. Here's the other thing. It's the spiritual side of this thing. It's really important. and that we're stewards. And when we talk about stewardship in church, we all think money and all kind of stuff, and it's true. But if that's true, the stewardship means I'm a manager of everything that God has given me. That would include, first and foremost, the body that he's put me in, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm living in direct sin anyways. So I need to just, so I can excuse myself and say, you know what? I'm taking care of myself. I'm going to feel guilty for actually spending time becoming healthy. Because my statement that I make, guys, is your church can't be healthy if you're not healthy. So the other problem that pastors have is, just like you said, is that every meeting or whatever centers around food, fellowship, potato salad, chicken, the whole thing.
Yep.
So we've got to learn and relearn how to do that. And some of the guys that I've trained are really good at that. I don't eat out a lot because I just don't like to. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys that I coach, a lot of their meetings are still around food, but they have learned how to eat healthy and they have certain restaurants they go to. They know what they can get. So there are ways to do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do, Tom, is that on all of my guys that I train, I know that time is an issue. So there's no days we're not spending 2 hours in the gym. We generally will do, a day of high intensity interval training, which lasts usually 20 minutes or less, okay, followed by a day of resistance training. That could be body weight training. That could be weight training. That could be resistance band training, some sort of resistance training. That usually is 40 minutes or less. And we're utilizing our time well. There's short rest periods. We use things like supersetting and giant sets, things that will incorporate many things in a shorter period of time to get the full benefit and yet be conscious of time. That's, again, because I work exclusively with pastors, I kind of get the world that they're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really important too. And that's why I think you add that added touch to it, rather than just going to a regular personal trainer. You know the mindset of a pastor and how to help overcome some of that stuff. So, okay. So if you were to give me just a few tips, if I'm coming to you and asking you just for some few tips on how to stay healthy, what would you encourage a pastor to do or a minister to do?
Okay. I think you got to look at it. If you're just talking physical, let's talk about this, since we're speaking physical and healthy, let's talk about the two elements of that. And that's generally how we're fueling our body. And I suppose you can include your rest in there as well, but how you're fueling your body, that's the food that we're eating. And then how we're taking care or exercising or working our body. So what I normally do is, I found that most guys don't have a general knowledge of just general nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I just teach guys that if you could cut out processed foods, if you could cut out sugars and drink a lot of water, you'll be ahead of 90% of the people on the planet. Yep. And if you learn to shop in a grocery store and just stay on the outside of aisles instead of the inside, inside's where all the processed foods, the outside's the fresh foods. So if you stay on the outside, shop on the outside, you're going to be better off. But if you can do those small tweaks of your diet, and then you can use things like MyFitnessPal, which is a free app that you can go to, and you can put in your current weight and all that stuff, and it'll literally tell you how many calories you need to have in order to maintain weight or lose weight or whatever you want to do, and it'll do that. It's all free. And then secondly, from a training standpoint, just stay active. Find something you like to do, because if you like to do it, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then and do it regularly, do it consistently, do it at least 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day. Or if you're doing interval training, you can get by with shorter periods of time, but do something to stay busy. If you like to hike, go hiking. It's the summer. If you like to swim, go swimming. Do something, ride a bike, lift weights, do what it is you like to do, and do it often, and do it vigorously so that you're raising your heart rate.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic advice there, because I can see a direct result in the sense of, one thing I started doing was about 2 months ago, I started only drinking coffee and water. And occasionally I'll slip up a little bit and I'll have a drink here or I'll have a beer there or something like that. But my primary goal, I used to never drink water. It was coffee or juice or soda or beer. It was all that stuff other than water. And just by simply going to coffee and water primarily, I've seen a lot of difference in my body, and I feel different. And whenever I now have a juice, it just does not taste good to me anymore. And I think that's a really cool thing. And the other thing I started doing was I have a stop time of eating. I cannot eat at past 8 o'clock, because after 8 o'clock, I was eating all this unhealthy food, junk food, ice cream, Cheez-Its, all that kind of stuff. And just cutting out things and setting a stop time for me has been very helpful to me on that.
Yeah, that's good. And instead of buying the chips, if you could buy a bag of almonds and then moderate the amount of this, because there are a lot of calories, but they're at least good, you know, they're good food. They're good snacks, hard-boiled eggs, something like that. So, you know, there are good ways. If you just got to eat something to eat, eat it. You mentioned juice and things like that. If you can stay away from that kind of stuff, it's just sugar, really. Yeah. We minimize fruit anyways. I mean, I'm a fruit eater, so but a lot of guys can't tolerate the carbs of fruit, and they're not the best carbs because fruit is pretty much sugar. But so we try to minimize the fruit, try to eat healthy fats, healthy carbs. But if you can get away with those few things, you'll probably detox. If you're doing away with sugar, you'll detox a little bit. You'll be uncomfortable for a little bit. But after you get over it, you won't miss it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I used to be a guy it doesn't even interest me any longer.
Yeah. No, and that's fantastic. And that's awesome. Okay. So this has been a great talking with you. If I was just a random pastor, I wanted to connect with you, how would I connect with you? What's the best place to reach you, on social media or on your website? What would I do?
Yeah. Well, I use all of the, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, I mean, all of the Facebook, we have all of those sites at Pastor Fit. But we have my website's pastorfit.com, and there are links to all this right there. So you can just go to that, and then and you can contact me through there, whatever. But if anybody's interested in coaching or just has questions, whatever, I'm happy to help any way I can.
And it doesn't matter where they're at in the world, they can still get some coaching and training from you, correct?
Oh, yeah. We're doing right now, literally all of them. United States, obviously, everywhere in the United States, Canada, and I even have a guy in Germany was in one of my last group coaching. So, anywhere.
That's awesome. Well, Greg, this has been fantastic. I'm definitely going to, there's a part of me that's like intimidated almost to go in and try it, but I have to try it. My friend Stan Rada has been doing it with you a little bit, and so I definitely need to try this out.
Well, hey, Tom, anytime you want to do, just let me know, and I appreciate you having me on. And, keep doing what you're doing. That's great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And keep inspiring other pastors, because again, the more you can help people, the pastors stay healthy, the longer they're going to be around and have a high impact on a lot of people. So thanks, Greg, so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Greg. And that was awesome, because it's so true. Sometimes we can accidentally discover that we are unhealthy and need to have an emergency surgery or this or that. But the best way to avoid all of that is just to be healthy from the get-go. And if you're a young student minister right now, hey, start putting in habits right now. You may not think, hey, I don't need to work out. I don't need to eat well. I got great metabolism. Well, that was me. I had great metabolism in my teens and early 20s. But then when I started getting into my 30s, it started not being as good. And I had to start running. I had to start looking at what I was eating. I am not a great healthy eater, but I started putting in things to make it work for me. A diet may not work for you, but there's got to be something that you can be doing to stay fit and to eat right all the time. And with what Greg was talking about is, hey, we need to incorporate exercise. We need to incorporate some things in their physical fitness that will help us, because the more fit we can be now, the longer we'll be able to be healthy long term. And then again, that will help us in our ministry and help us stay in the game, that we won't have an unexpected heart attack or something like that that will come into play and affect us. Be healthy now. Put those principles and habits into your life now so that you can be in ministry long term. And that's my thoughts. That's what Greg had to share. I was so grateful that he was on with me today, and I would love to hear your thoughts. What do you think about you know, staying healthy. What are you doing to stay healthy? What is the kind of magic formula that works well for you? I would love to hear your thoughts on this. So definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. Let's talk about it and let's continue the conversation. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me again. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Or go to ymsidekick.com where I've got my blog, my podcast, some vlogs, the ebooks, some other resources as well. I would love for you to connect with me there as well. And of course, I'm all over Twitter and all over social media, so definitely hit me up there. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a great day. And until next time, have a great one.